Loneliness or social isolation is something that all of us will experience at some point in all our lives. And I think with a very few exceptions, most of us here have been through the COVID pandemic, the horror of lockdown, the isolation, the loneliness, the sheer sense of feeling uncomfortable. Isolation is no respecter of age. It affects everyone, both young and old alike. And social isolation is sometimes described as an unwelcome feeling of a lack or a loss of companionship. And psychiatrists today are now warning that there may well be a surge of people who experienced post-traumatic stress disorder-like symptoms in the future simply because of COVID. We're meant to be social beings. We're meant to live in communion and fellowship with each other. And when that gets denied us, it seems so much more difficult. Jesus knew exactly what it was like to feel that same sense of loneliness or separation. And he talks about it as well in today's reading from John's Gospel. And it's a continuation, again, of his farewell conversation with his disciples. Death is often perceived as being the ultimate separator, and here Jesus is preparing his disciples for his impending death. And of course, he knew that his absence is going to hit them hard, because they developed a deep and loving friendship with him, and they'd look to Jesus for support and for guidance. And so he says to them, "In a little while, the world will no longer see me." It sounds as though there's going to be a Jesus-shaped hole in their lives. Or would there be? Because he then goes on to say straight after, "But I'm not going to leave you orphaned." Although he was about to die, they would see him again in his temporal resurrected form. But even once Jesus had ascended to God the Father, they weren't going to be left alone. He was going to send them the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, sometimes called the Spirit of Truth or the Comforter. And that Spirit was not only just going to come to them, it was going to dwell inside them. And so just as Jesus and God the Father were one, so too the disciples would be one. No longer separated from Jesus, but united in him eternally. But there are conditions to them receiving the promised Holy Spirit. And the two things that have to be met are love and obedience. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," says Jesus right at the beginning of that reading. And they reflect the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The first commandment. And the second, also from Mark's Gospel, "Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment that's greater than these." And so the imparting of God's Holy Spirit was and is conditional on a believer wholeheartedly loving God and obeying his commandments. And the Holy Spirit would certainly not be some kind of unfamiliar entity to Jesus' disciples, because he said to them, "You know him, you know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides in you and the Spirit will be with you." It wasn't going to be a stranger who was going to come and abide in them, because God was already there in the bodily form of their beloved friend and master Jesus, whom they'd just been journeying with. I think it's a real matter of sadness that so many people, including Christians, fail to understand the sheer mind-blowing implications that this indwelling spirit has on us today. So many people, whether they're aware of it or not, are searching for that something that's going to make their lives complete, some kind of void that's trying to be filled. Some people feel as though their lives are always on that quest for some kind of elusive holy grail. And they search, but often they're looking in the wrong places. Yet the answer is closer than many of us realize. And how does it feel to have that Holy Spirit dwelling within us? It's a wonderful, transformative presence. That's God at work. That's Jesus abiding with us, abiding in us, filling us with that life-giving Spirit, the Spirit that leads us into all truth. And that same Spirit should cause us to search amongst ourselves. Who am I? What am I doing? What are my particular gifts and talents? What has God blessed me with? What are some of the things that I might find a little bit more difficult? What have I got that I can share? What are some of the qualities of Jesus that I can embody through that Spirit that dwells in me? In that reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Paul was at the Areopagus in Athens, and he's been carefully looking at the Athenians' objects of worship, and he saw that they were extremely religious in so many different ways. They were close, but they were not quite close enough. And Paul's eyes fall on an altar that's dedicated to an unknown God. And focusing on that altar, he goes on to explain who the one true God was and is. And Paul teaches, and we believe, that God is not found in man-made objects. In fact, God is closer than we've even realized. God is at work, dwelling within us. Probably all of us, at some point today, have stood in front of a mirror. Maybe we've contemplated ourselves, or maybe we've just looked at our appearance just to make sure we're tidy enough and we're presentable enough to go out through the door and face the world. Let other people see us for who we really are. And when we look in the mirror, do we perhaps feel a sense of upset? Oh, I'm not as pretty as that person. I'm not as handsome as that person. I wish my nose was smaller. I wish my eyes were a different color. I wish my teeth weren't so crooked, etc., etc., etc. We all look and we contemplate. But instead of contemplating ourselves for ourselves, isn't it worth sometimes contemplating ourselves for how God sees us? For God goes beyond simply how we see ourselves. God goes beyond the simple physical characteristics which make us who we are. Because God is spirit, God is truth, God is dwelling within us, going completely beyond the superficial, loving us for exactly who we are. And sometimes the physical limitations are simply those that we place on ourselves. The one God that we search for is even closer than we realize, dwelling within each of us. So next time you look in the mirror, I'm going to give you a challenge. Instead of trying to look at yourself, look at yourself and realize that the breath, the Spirit of God, is dwelling within you. And God dwelling in us calls each of us into that relationship with Him. The term a born-again Christian has become something of a cliche and sometimes develops quite negative connotations. But that is the crux of Jesus' message. All of us are born again when we realize for ourselves that we're not isolated and lonely individuals, but instead we are spiritual beings created for that loving relationship with God, but also with one another. And union with God means no more loneliness or isolation. Yet loneliness and isolation are still always going to be things that we experience, and the pandemic has taught us quite a great deal about that. But I think it's also taught us that there is a joy in our unity. Our unity as Christians. Together we are stronger. Together as a church, we are a worshiping community. We're not a building, we're about community. We're about developing that relationship with God and developing the relationship with each other and with the world around us. And we do that through the Spirit of God that dwells inside each of us. So there's no more loneliness or isolation. And Jesus says, those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So may each of us know God's abiding presence with us now and always. Amen.